Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning independent journalist Amy Goodman. Tune in to your daily progressive news, aired Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on CJSF.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is Israel's 9/11, and Israel will do everything to bring our sons and daughters back home. There is no reconciling with genocidal terrorists. Israel will exact a heavy price on Hamas so that what we witnessed will never repeat itself.
Israel's ordered a complete siege of Gaza after fighters from Hamas broke out of the blockaded Gaza Strip Saturday to carry it on an unprecedented attack by air, land, and sea on Israel. Over the past 3 days, at least 1,300 people have died, including over 800 inside Israel and over 500 in Gaza.
Israel expects and demands political and military support while advancing goals that are fundamentally at odds with international legitimacy and consensus. Its policies are an assault on our humanity, on international law, on peace, and are a threat for its own people.
We'll go to Israel and Gaza for the latest. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The death toll across Israel and Gaza has topped 1,300 as the bloody conflict stretches into its third day. Israel today announced a total blockade on Gaza, including food, water, electricity, and fuel. On Sunday, Israel declared war on Hamas after Hamas fighters launched a surprise coordinated attack on Israel Saturday. Among the targets was a music festival where Hamas gunmen killed some 260, mainly young people. Israel responded by pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes, which hit housing blocks, tunnels, and a mosque. Over 800 people have been killed in Israel, over 500 in Gaza. Thousands more have been injured on both sides of the separation barrier. Hamas says it's taken over 100 hostages, including civilians and Israeli army officers. Israeli Prime Minister has told Gazans to leave, though it's unclear where they'd be able to go, vowing to all but decimate the besieged territory.
All of the places where Hamas are deployed, hiding and operating in, that wicked city, we will turn it into an island of ruins. I am telling Gaza's people to leave those places now because we will take action everywhere.
Over 120,000 people in Gaza have already been displaced from the Israeli attacks. 65-year-old Sabah Abu Hilal, who lost his home in an airstrike, says he refused to be uprooted.
I am not the only one left out on the street. There are 17 other families in this area made homeless following this barbaric strike, which killed around 17 or 18 people. Several families are on the street and left without refuge. This is not the first displacement, and it's as if they are displacing the Palestinian people every now and then on purpose. There was the 1948 migration, and it was followed by similar waves of people leaving the country. Our children are also migrating, and now they are destroying homes over the heads of residents while they sleep, without any warning or reason, with the aim to displace and destroy and to uproot them from this land. However, we refuse to be uprooted. We have firm roots in this land.
The U.S. said it'll send more military aid and munitions to Israel already, the largest annual recipient of U.S. military funding. It'll also bring military ships and aircraft closer to Israel. The U.N. Special Rapporteur on the occupied Palestinian territory territories blasted what she called the selective outrage of many Western nations following the conflict's outbreak as they failed to recognize the ongoing violence against Palestinians, she said. Francesca Albanese said, quote, human rights organizations have said it all along that continuing to oppress a population with total impunity would lead to a catastrophe, and this is what's happening. The responsibility is also on the international community, which has one opportunity now to be wise and be even-handed, she said. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal is reporting Iran helped plan Hamas's attack on Israel. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he's not seen any evidence to substantiate that claim. Solidarity protests with Gaza took place around the world over the weekend, including here in New York City's Times Square.
The whole reason I'm yelling is because the powers that be in New York City and New York State don't want this rally to happen.
Mayor Eric Adams.
The mayor, Eric Adams, perhaps the police chief. We've seen that the governor has denounced this rally, but they don't want us to have any amplified sound because they don't want us to be heard by the people of New York, because they don't want people to know that Palestinians are right to stand up against occupation, apartheid. Resistance is not terrorism.
After headlines, we'll go to Jerusalem and to Gaza. In Afghanistan, Taliban officials say more than 2,000 people were killed, nearly 10,000 injured, after a magnitude 6.3 earthquake and several powerful aftershocks struck the western Herat province on Saturday morning. The quake flattened buildings in six villages, trapping hundreds of people in their homes. The death toll could rise as rescue workers continue to search for survivors using shovels and, in some cases, their bare hands. It's one of the deadliest earthquakes to strike Afghanistan in 20 years and risks further exacerbating the ongoing humanitarian crisis. In Ecuador, six suspects accused of being involved in the August murder of presidential candidate Fernando Villavicencio have been killed in prison. The six men, who are all Colombian, were being detained in the city of Guayaquil after their arrest 2 months ago. They were all alleged members of a drug trafficking group. Villavicencio was running on an anti-corruption platform for president and was critical of organized crime and its ties with the Ecuadorian government. This comes just days before voters take to the polls this Sunday for the presidential runoff between leftist Luis Gonzalez and wealthy businessman Daniel Noboa. Colombia's government's announced the start of long-anticipated peace talks with the largest faction of dissident members of FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. On Sunday, both sides said offensive actions had been suspended as the government of President Gustavo Petro prepares to issue a formal ceasefire decree in the coming days. The Estado Mayor Central is a group of former FARC members who rejected a 2016 peace accord with the Colombian state that removed FARC from the decades-long conflict. This is an EMC representative.
We can't disregard this historical moment, which will have a positive impact on our communities. Without a doubt, stopping killing each other is the wisest path to start constructing a better future. Ending the war and the rhetoric of violence will lead to a constructive peace discourse.
In related news, Colombia's Superior Court is allowing a witness tampering and fraud case against former Colombian President Álvaro Uribe to move forward. Uribe is accused of attempting to discredit allegations he had ties with right-wing paramilitary groups. During his time in power from 2002 to 2010, there were thousands of extrajudicial killings of civilians who were then purposely mislabeled as rebel fighters in what became known as the false positive scandal. In Guatemala, tens of thousands of people have taken to the streets in recent days as nationwide protests intensify over the ongoing persecution of President-elect Bernardo Arevalo and his progressive Semilla Party. Demonstrators are demanding the resignation of Guatemala's Attorney General Consuelo Porras and several prosecutors involved in efforts to disqualify Arevalo's landslide victory in August runoff presidential election. Arevalo and Semilla are accused of election fraud and irregularities in the party's registration. Prosecutors have ordered raids on electoral offices and the seizure of ballots without any evidence to support their claims. Porras, who's backed by the Guatemalan political and business elite, has been repeatedly accused of corruption. Protests continued through the weekend across Guatemala, led by indigenous groups, student activists, human rights defenders, and workers.
To enter the democratic era, there has been bloodshed. So for a small group of people to come and destroy democracy overnight, we will not allow that.
Meanwhile, the Organization of American States has named a delegation to mediate Bernardo Arevalo's transition to power ahead of a scheduled inauguration in January. The OAS has itself been accused of meddling in democratic election results across Latin America, most recently in Bolivia's 2019 election, where its unfounded fraud claims helped pave the way for the removal of the leftist President Evo Morales. A new report from UNICEF finds over 43 million children were internally displaced in the past 6 years due to extreme weather events, the vast majority caused by floods and storms. The UN agency notes displacement can negatively impact children's education, healthcare, food security, and health. Children are also more likely to be separated from their families following a major disaster, increasing the risks of exploitation and child trafficking. UNICEF warns the situation will only worsen as the climate crisis intensifies.
The report's analysis also looks into the future, and it actually projects a truly terrifying future. With every additional 1 degree of warming, the IPCC believes the global risk of displacement by flooding, the largest driver, could rise by 50%. We are not prepared for this climate-changed future. And the displacement of children is barely on the radar of leaders.
A new study finds an average of 7.6 million renters face eviction across the United States every year, nearly 3 million of whom are children under the age of 18. Researchers at Princeton, Rutgers, and the U.S. Census Bureau also found eviction filing rates for black renters are 4 times higher than for white renters. In labor news, nearly 4,000 United Auto Worker members employed by Volvo's Mack trucks are on strike after voting down a tentative agreement reached last week. Mack workers in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Florida are joining some 25,000 fellow UAW members on the picket line as they continue their historic strike against Ford, GM, and Stellantis. Mack workers say they were inspired to seek a better deal because of the historic strike against the Big Three. On Friday, UAW President Sean Fain announced a major win in talks with GM.
GM has now agreed in writing to place their electric battery manufacturing under our National Master Agreement. We've been told for months that this is impossible. We've been told the EV future must be a race to the bottom. And now we've called their bluff.
Fain was wearing a T-shirt that said, "Eat the rich." He did not announce any additional strike actions for now. Meanwhile, 75,000 healthcare workers employed by Kaiser Permanente returned to work Saturday. More strikes could be on the horizon if no deal is reached on improvements to pay, staffing, pension plans, and other benefits. A Georgia prosecutor has declined to bring charges against state troopers who fatally shot the environmental activist Manuel Esteban Terán, known as Tortuguita, during a raid on the Stop Cop City protest encampment outside Atlanta in January. On Friday, District Attorney George Christian released a 31-page report concluding none of the 6 officers who fired shots that resulted in Tortuguita's death acted unreasonably. An autopsy by the DeKalb County Medical Examiner's Office revealed Tortuguita was struck 57 times by police bullets. Although Tortuguita possessed a 9mm pistol, an autopsy also found no traces of gunpowder residue on their hands, challenging police claims that Tortuguita fired a shot that injured a Georgia state trooper. In a statement, the Stop Cop City campaign wrote, quote, "From the start, the state's response to Tortuguita's murder has been to lie and cover up the facts. Today's announcement is just the latest in a long line of changing stories and withholding evidence," unquote. And today is Indigenous Peoples Day. Over 100 U.S. cities and a dozen states have adopted the holiday after longtime calls by Indigenous activists to stop celebrating a genocidal legacy of Christopher Columbus. Last week, over 50 U.S. senators and representatives again introduced a bill to formally replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day as a federal holiday. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. When we come back, Israel's ordered a complete siege of Gaza after fighters from Hamas broke out of the blockaded Gaza Strip Saturday, carrying out an unprecedented attack by air, land and sea on Israel. Over the past 3 days, at least 1,300 people have died, including 800 inside Israel and over 500 in Gaza. We'll go to Israel and Gaza for the latest.
القدس سكروها بوجه الناس وما عاد حدا يقدر يشوفها بعيون الناس حرقوها هدموها بيوت بعز النهار والناس شردوها بقوة السلاح وبالنار ما بقي غير شوية احجار وياسمين تعربش على الحيطان
Time to Cry by Rimbana. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's ordered a complete siege of Gaza 2 days after as many as 1,000 Hamas fighters carried out an unprecedented attack Saturday morning when Hamas fired thousands of rockets into Israel as militants broke through Israeli security barricades. Over the past 3 days, at least 1,300 people have died, including over 800 inside Israel, almost 500 in Gaza. One Israeli military spokesperson described Saturday as, quote, by far the worst day in Israeli history, unquote. The surprise attack came almost 50 years to the day of the 1973 Yom Kippur War. The Hamas attack killed at least 44 Israeli soldiers, including several commanders. Over 250 people were killed at an Israeli music festival attended by mostly young people. Hamas militants also took about 100 hostages. Entire Israeli communities were forced to evacuate. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes have killed over 500 Palestinians in Gaza since Saturday, but the death toll is expected to soar as Israel threatens to launch a ground war. Israel's called up 300,000 reservists, is sending heavy armor toward the Gaza border. This comes as the United States is sending more ammunition to Israel and warships to the region. Earlier today, Israeli airstrikes killed dozens of residents in the Jabalia refugee camp. Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, has announced a total blockade on Gaza, including a ban on food, water, electricity, and fuel. Israel's imposed a siege on Gaza for the past 16 years, largely cutting off the area from the rest of the world. Gaza has been widely described as an open-air prison. Hamas named its military operation Al-Aqsa Storm in response to the desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Hamas also cited the blockade of Gaza and increasing settler violence in the occupied West Bank. The attack also came as Israel was moving to normalize relations with Saudi Arabia. In a moment, we'll go to Israel and Gaza for response, but we begin with the voices of two parents, one in Israel, one in Gaza, whose lives have been devastated by this weekend's violence. This is Yoni Asher, a 37-year-old father whose wife and two children have been taken hostage by Hamas.
Yesterday, while my wife, Doron, and two daughters, little girls, Raz and Aviv, 5-year-old and 3-year-old, went visit my mother-in-law in near Oz. It's a kibbutz near Gaza. And during the morning, I contact my wife, and she told me on the phone that there are terrorists inside the house. Later on, I saw a video, the same video that was in the social media, which I surely identified my wife, my two daughters, and my mother-in-law on some kind of a cart, and terrorists of Hamas all around them. I want to ask of Hamas, don't hurt them. Don't hurt little children, don't hurt women. If you want me instead, I'm willing to come.
And this is a mother in Gaza, Sabreen Aboudaka, who survived after being trapped in rubble after an Israeli rocket hit her home. The attack killed three of her children.
I was at home, and suddenly we heard a sound, and everything fell over our heads. My children were next to me. One of them was next to my legs, and the others were next to me. My brother, Saber, was a bit further. Nothing happened to him. I was hiding between the sofa and the door, so there was no pressure on me, only on my leg. But I didn't hear any sound coming from my children. I called them, but I didn't hear a sound coming from them. Suddenly, I heard my brother Saber calling. The first moment I heard his voice, I shouted and I said, I'm here. And when they recognized me, they started calming me down. And then they started removing the rubble from above me. It took them 3 hours to remove the rubble above me. But my children died. Khalid died. Kais died. Miriam died. Asif went missing. When they pulled me out of the rubble, I saw everything damaged. The houses are damaged. That's the only thing I saw. And then I went to the hospital. I found that everybody was injured, and we have many injured and dead people.
We spend the rest of the hour with four guests. In Gaza City, Raji Sarani is an award-winning human rights lawyer, director of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights in Gaza. He's the 2013 Right Livelihood Award laureate, as well as an RFK Human Rights laureate. We hope to be talking to him soon in Gaza. The bombing is heavy, an unprecedented bombing, he said, in his area in Gaza. Joining us from Mexico City, Ofer Kassif. He's a member of the Israeli Knesset and a Hadash Tal coalition. He was born in Rishon LeZion, Israel, which was hit by Hamas rocket strikes. Here in New York, Professor Rashid Khalidi is with us, the Edward Said Professor of Modern Arab Studies at Columbia University, author of a number of books, including The Hundred Years' War on Palestine. And joining us from Jerusalem, Orly Noy, Israeli political activist, editor of the Hebrew language news site Local Call. She's also the chair of B'Tselem's executive board. B'Tselem is an Israeli human rights organization. Orly, let's begin with you in Jerusalem. Can you respond to all that has happened over the weekend, the surprise attacks, the 1,300 people dead at this point in Gaza and in Israel, and now the defense minister of Israel announcing a total siege of Gaza as tanks and military equipment head down to Gaza?
Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. These are very, very dark days in the area, both in Palestine and in Israel. We woke up Saturday morning to the sirens rushing us into the shelters. And gradually, as the picture had cleared, it just became darker. We've been witnessing since the heinous Hamas attack on civilians on Saturday morning, a long list of Israeli failures that started even before the attack with the lack of intelligence information. And we're talking about an intelligence operation that basically surveils every breath every Palestinian takes, both in the West Bank and in Gaza Strip, and they knew nothing about that planned attack. It continued to the chaos that has been going on for long hours, where hostages were held, where people were slaughtered without the army or police forces coming to their rescue. And until today, there is still a tremendous amount of unclearness. People are still searching for their loved ones with no organized body by the government to inform those worried people. Of course, the Israeli government is doing the only thing that Israel knows to do, which is revenge and more force and more death and more very random bombing of civilians in Gaza Strip. There is a very strong sense of demanding revenge within the Israeli public, and even if that can be understood, it does not by any means justify the brutal attacks that will, of course, be fruitful, like any previous promise we've been given by the Israeli authorities to annihilate the terrorism and so on. This is just about revenge, which will end up just in more death and more violence and more blood.
One of the questions, will this lead to the fall of the Netanyahu government? I mean, allied with the far right. For example, Itamar Ben-Gvir, the national security head, himself convicted an Israeli court 15 years ago of inciting hatred against Palestinians. He's the national security chief. Are there so many in the leadership here that have been so focused on, who are part of the Israeli settler movement on the West Bank, that they weren't paying attention to Gaza?
Absolutely. This is one of the, I mean, first it should be mentioned that Itamar Ben-Gvir was convicted with more than just a hatred towards Palestinians. He was convicted with supporting a terrorist organization. So he's a convicted supporter of terrorism. There is a tremendous amount of anger directed towards the government in general, and specifically toward Netanyahu and the leadership. We know now that most of the military troops that were supposed to be posted in the south protecting the southern borders have been relocated to protect the settlers in the West Bank. These are things that, I mean, right now the Israeli public is too deep into the grief and shock, in a state of shock, but there will come a time that they will demand those answers from the government and personally from Netanyahu. In the short term, it looks like we are going to emergency coalition joined by Gantz and probably also Lapid. This is not unprecedented. Israel tends to unite politically around the leadership in times of crisis, but there is no doubt that once the immediate crisis is over, the Israeli public will be demanding answers from the government and from Netanyahu.
We're going to go from Orly Noy right now in Jerusalem. You can hear the wind blow on her mic as she talks to us about the Israeli reaction, to Raji Sarani, head of the Palestinian Center for Human Rights in Gaza. I want to go to you quickly, Raji, because I understand you're experiencing unprecedented bombing in your area. Can you describe what's happening in Gaza? The media in the United States, there is almost no one in Gaza to bring us voices of Gazans. Raji, can you hear us?
The last 60 hours, I mean, Gaza subject to nonstop bombing. It's ongoing all over the place. There is no single place you can call it safe haven in Gaza. Aeroplane, fighters, drones, roaring all over the sky, and it's your lottery number, whether it's an apartment, whether it's a tower with 100 apartments, whether it's a house, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a school, a shelter used by UNRWA. Even the marketplace of Jabalia, the biggest refugee camp in the Middle East for Palestinians, 300,000 Palestinians were bombed, and almost 80 have been killed. I mean, this morning and tens injured in very, very critical situation. And all this is happening, I mean, at the daylight. And no one is caring about that. Netanyahu says Gaza should leave Gaza. Where to? Even we don't have safe passage. And the Minister of Defense say, we are going to cut electricity, water, food, oil, everything, and it will be cut on Gaza. So 2.4 million civilians in Gaza are subject to unprecedented situation. It's very genocidal. It's coming from the highest level in Israel. If they have a problem with Hamas, we have no problem.